Well, a very good evening to you out there, and thanks for tuning in to this Monday evening here on Terrace Talk, coming to you as we always do, live from our studios here in Tralee, Ma Sheev Tranona, on Vama, on Shin, Agus Gorevma, Asan Tanulishtak, Tranona de Luan, on Shah Air Terrace Talk. Now, if you want to get in touch with us this evening, our phone lines are absolutely hopping, so this evening you might actually have an engaged tone getting in there, so maybe give us a ring on 0667123666 or text us on 083 300 3300 on WhatsApp there, as a great deal and a great many of you have been doing throughout the course of the day and indeed yesterday as well. Now, tonight's show, we're obviously going to look back at, I suppose, that somewhat shock defeat. And if it wasn't a shock defeat, maybe the manner of the defeat might have been the most shocking against Dublin. We're going to chat after 7 o'clock about Kerry's great win over Meath in the hurling. And history, of course, was made in Ballyhig on Saturday as the Kerry Camogie team began life in Division 1. We'll chat with Drishtard after 7 on that. We'll chat basketball as well later in the second hour. St. Paul's women's basketball team, they prepare for, I suppose, possibly their biggest ever match. And stay with us and about 7:30 as we catch up with the Kingdom Warrior, Kevin Cronin, as he gets ready to head to Boston for his big fight on that Michael Conlon card. Really excited to catch up with Kevin on that. That's around 7:30. Now, something that promised a lot but probably delivered a lot less was Kerry's defeat to Dublin last Saturday night at Croke Park, in front of, I suppose, nearly 40,000 people, a lot of them Kerry people as well. So what went wrong? Well, that's the question that a lot of people are asking, so we're going to ask Liam Broston first what went wrong the last night. It was certainly, Jack O'Connor says, malfunction. That's like kind of an engine breaking down or something, but it did have that feel about it, didn't it?
It did. Look, it was a rough night at the office. Are Kerry that bad? No, we're not that bad. Are Dublin that good? Yes, I would. Dublin are, they're not All-Ireland champions for nothing. From the word go,
they weren't that good, Liam, heading into that game. I mean, we were talking about them losing a couple of games and then all of a sudden they won a game.
But Dublin in Croke Park, and we've said it for years here, like, they're a different animal. And look, Kerry and Dublin always bring the best out of each other anyway, and we said it here last Monday night, know that it was a game we were looking forward to, because we thought we were, we were showing a lot of promise, and and I always thought that it was a free hit, and I said it at half time to Timmy, that this is our chance now to have a shot at Dublin. If we lose, we lose. It wasn't going to be the end of the world, because we were well situated with league points. We have a couple of good games coming up ahead of us that you'll be hoping that you'll pick up more points. So this was a kind of a free hit for us at Dublin. But by God, after the first 10 minutes, they just left us for dead. All over the field, they dominated all over the field. We struggled on our kick out. We struggled on their kick out. They broke us down very easily. Powerful running. The one thing I could not understand is that when Dublin are bringing up the ball, they always seem to have two or three forwards inside the full forward line. When we came from the other end, we were just kind of kicking these hit and hope balls into David inside with two or three Dublin fellas around him. So there's going to be a lot of soul searching, a lot of thinking for Jack. Look, I know, and we're going to get a lot of texts in tonight that it's only February and it's only this. We can only talk about what we saw the weekend. We can't talk about what's going to happen in July. But we will get better. We'll learn from it. But Dublin looked like, they looked like the real deal. They looked like the old Dublin. When I say the old Dublin, with Jim Gavin. They're very constructive, very powerful, very fit, and they looked as if they wanted to put down a marker Saturday night, and they did, because they came at us from the word go, like Munchen on David Clifford, for instance. He struggled with David, struggled with him, and size wise there's no comparison, and we still couldn't overcome that. A lot of things like that, and it just shows that Dublin are going nowhere. And there's a couple of fellas in the background, we're taunting the fellas up in level 7, and they were saying the likes of Cluxton and McCarthy and all these fellas are supposed to be flying in training as well, and we're only a couple of months away from the All-Ireland series, so it's an interesting road ahead.
God almighty, interesting road ahead. Well, it was an interesting road home for an awful lot of people, because obviously they were going to discuss nothing but the match. But I mean, like, John Kennedy, before we get on to kind of the good stuff, we'll go through the game and the good stuff, what went wrong, you looking at the game? I mean, we talked Kerry up last week. We said we were in a good place. We had a good team. We nearly said they were nearly our championship team. Yep. We said we were well set at midfield. We had reasonable enough hope in the back line. We had best forwards in Ireland at that stage. something happened though. What happened? What's the mystery?
I think last week you asked us how do you think it would go. I felt Kerry would win. I thought, based on the fact that I thought that, you know, Dublin were a bit behind us preparation wise, fitness wise, quite a number of players to come back. We had a settled team, near enough a championship team, mm-hmm. But we got it so wrong. I'll be honest with you. I think you know, Dublin, they were beaten by Monaghan and Mayo, beat Roscommon, you'd expect it, but like, we were on the upper curve having beaten Monaghan and Mayo and looking good, but from the word go, like Liam said, we were second best. You know, we were bossed all over the field. You know, Dublin looked fitter, sharper, they were hungrier, they used the ball well. You know, they squeezed us, you know, they on the kickouts, they attacked everything, and we were flat footed. And, you know, some of the old problems that were there for the last few years, particularly the spine of our defence, you know, it was really opened up, to be fair. I thought the tactics that Dublin used on the night were very effective. Bogler taking Tadhg Marley away from centre back, mm-hmm. leaving Jason Foley totally exposed inside. Great ball going into Con Callan. You know, Jason will have horrors about that game, being honest with you. The Kerry full back line were under savage pressure. You know, Paddy Small had the Indian sign on Dylan Casey. Every time he got it, he wanted to take him on. They went by their men easily. You know, they got the goals. You know, people will say today that Kerry had goal chances. Yes, we did. We didn't take them. But like, it is certainly a setback. While, you know, I think we need to get to league final with the championship that's ahead of us. I can't see us getting there now, being honest with you. You know, we have a tough one coming up next week again. But it's a marker by Dublin more than the victory. We're going to meet them later on, probably in the championship at some stage. And this is, you know, the individual battles that were won. You know, the energy they showed. And I think more importantly, the new guys that Dublin have brought in are up to the mark. I'm talking about Theo Clancy at fullback. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Cian Murphy, you know, Ross McGarry. Our guys, the new fellas, haven't reached that level. You know, they probably will, but it's amazing that the Dubs have. And then, like Liam said, you look at the list of the lads that had to come back. Signs are on us, in fairness. They're not All-Ireland champions for nothing. And, you know, last year when we won the All-Ireland, we came back into the league and we were catching up. Dublin won the All-Ireland. Maybe they were catching up for the first game or two, but they certainly look to be firing on all cylinders. Their fitness looked to be ahead of us. Their sharpness. It was a terrible night at the office for Kerry. Like Liam said, we're not that bad, but Dublin are that good.
Mm-hmm. We're not that bad, Liam. Some people are putting a question mark behind that this morning all over the kingdom. Are we that bad?
No, we're not that bad. Look, there was a couple of malfunctions. I think the main one for me was our kick-out. And it kind of... If you go back to the Mayo game the week before...
What goes wrong in that situation, that the kick-out? Obviously, it's the keeper's responsibility to get the ball into an area where there's possession. When you say malfunction, are we losing... Are we not getting to where we should be on the mark to pick up the ball? Are players not showing up? A lot of Kerry players, deep into the middle of the second half, they had their backs turned to the goalkeeper.
They didn't want the ball, yeah. No. And you could see Dublin put on a press for the people. We were up high, so we could see it easily. They put on a press, and it was a kind of a zonal press. And usually, you know, in a lot of games, teams give up the handy kick out to the corner back or to the wing forward and stuff like that. Dublin weren't doing that. They were actually forcing Shane Ryan to kick the ball out to Fintan. Mm-hmm. And it happened a couple of times. I know if you can remember, it was Darren Moynihan was contesting with Fintan a couple of times. Yeah. No, that shouldn't be happening at this level. It shouldn't be happening. And no, it really did put us under pressure from the word go, and it put Dublin on the front foot. And I know people are saying that we had a great first 10 or 15 minutes of the second half, but actually Dublin never pressed us for the first 50. It was the 50th minute, I wrote down here, and next thing they went on the press again and they pulled away from us. So that's something that we need to work out, and that's something that can be worked out on the training field, to get the ball into play. And at the other end then, when the Dublin, it was very close, like Cluxton, the ball was hardly gone over the bar and the goalkeeper had it on the tee, and it was a handy kick out. So their restarts were a lot easier, they were a lot quicker than what we were doing. And I thought that was a big thing for the game, that Dave O'Hanlon, you know, very very settled, and it put us under pressure. Our kick out put us under pressure from the very word go. Mm-hmm. And then the other big thing for me was that the pace and the strength of the Dublin team. I thought Kieran Kilkenny, you know, was excellent. Fintan bossed around the middle of the field. Without being dramatic, he bossed around the middle of the field.
But how much of that was Dublin bossing us, or that we were well below our power?
There could be a bit of both. But we got to look at the Dublin team as well, and we got to give them credit. A lot of these guys have pockets full of all the medals.
But where's the motivation then? I mean, did Dublin come out to last night as All-Ireland champions saying, we won the All-Ireland last year and people were still doubting us? They were still saying David Clifford had an off day and that's why we won the All-Ireland. And did they determine to roll up the sleeves and saying, listen, this is what we need to win. This is the most important game for us, probably in the whole calendar year, and we're going to put our foot down and carry.
Laying down a marker.
Like we would have done to maybe Cork in the 70s and the 80s and said, we're not going to give them absolutely any hope whatsoever, and we're going to send the Kerry gang home with no hope whatsoever, and they're not going to have another uprising against us.
Exactly, yeah. And you could see that even going back to Munchen again on David Clifford, like, the Dublin fate they have in their players. Yep. So that'd be something I probably wouldn't do as a manager, like to put your smallest defender on probably what everyone is saying one of the best forwards in the country. You know, and they were able to, and a lot of that then comes back to Kerry as well, the way we were kicking the ball into David. You know, like I said, we were always on here about getting the early ball into him, but there's early ball, but you can't kick a ball into him when there's three or four Dublin fellas around him, and that's Dublin were doing the opposite. When Conor Callaghan got the ball inside, he had two and three fellas running off him, so he had a choice of dipping the shoulder, taking his man on, or giving it to the fella off the shoulder. David didn't have that, you know, so that's something that Kerry will have to rectify. Like the Dublin six forwards, I think, kicked 3-15 between them.
Well, sure, Conor Callaghan scored 3-4 on his own.
No, so like Kieran Kilkenny had 3, Burglar had 3, Paddy Small had 3, Scully had 1. You know, the six forwards, they all scored. Usually you might get a half back coming up, or midfielders and all these, but they're six forwards. So the unit and the way they play, they're actually playing as forwards.
Dublin were very interesting in that instance, and maybe Liam tripped onto that point. Dublin kept their forwards as forwards and kept them up. We kind of maybe triangulised ourselves and put a forward in, maybe Shawnee jumped out or David stayed in. Is there a proper reward, John, for keeping your three forwards in the scoring zone?
Well, particularly your scoring forwards anyway, there's no doubt. And I think Dublin have learned. Kieran Kilkenny, very seldom he was back in the backs the last night, or back beyond his own 45. Clade above, sorry, Con Callaghan, you know, and Bogler. Those three, they're huge players for Dublin. Paddy Small kicked in as well. But I think the form of Con Callaghan and Kieran Kilkenny, they're rejuvenated now. They're fresh. They look very sharp. But I think the difference on the last night, the ball going into our forwards, we forced it. It was if we have a new tactic now, get the ball in first time, just let it rip in, and not looking at what's on inside. A man being double marked and triple marked, and we're kicking a ball up in the air. Dublin looked the opposite. They had the avenue through the centre. They gave quality ball in. And the Dubs knew they had the beating of their men, because when they got one and one, they took them on.
Yeah. Does that go back, lads, to the Mayo discussion that we had the last night, where we said there was a link missing? We were able to bring the ball so far, but we weren't able to get the ball in. The last night, it seemed to be the only option in town. It was just pop the ball in, and you know, David almost grabbed the first one. He didn't, and it kind of went away from us even after that, and a lot of four shots. It's quite kind of, I suppose, caveman-like in the sense that was the tactic we used against Dublin to deliver high balls in.
And I think you're right, and I think a lot of teams are copying onto it. There's everybody, people out there, the man in the street will tell you, you know, if David Clifford is held or Shawnee Shea, where are we going to get the scores? Well, if you're the opposition manager, like, they forfeited much on the last night to do a man-marking job on David. He was pulling and dragging, he was in his face. That's what a good defender will do. But that's what David Clifford is going to get. So if that's happening inside, you need quality ball going in, diagonal ball, to give your forward the advantage. Not up in the air where there's two men to break the ball away from him. And they had men back to sweep up, because Murchin was committing himself, and Theo Clancy and Sean McMahon and Johnny Small were picking up the breaks.
Liam, at half time, it doesn't look well. It's 2-11-8 points. What's Jack O'Connor going to say to players at half time? You're going in, you're 9 points down. You probably played for the first 7 or 8 minutes. It was level up till then. That's what the penalty was a deciding enough factor. Right decision, probably. You know, it could have been a free. It came out to be a penalty. What's the manager saying at half time?
You know, you'd be scratching your head, won't you, John, at times. Like, usually in situations like that, the players know themselves that this is not working. So, you know, there's probably a lot of voices in a dressing room like that, but the manager probably only comes in and hits one or two points.
What do you reckon the theme of the discussion, even with the players, is? What's the topic? What are they saying? Are they talking about not marking up? Are they talking about getting the ball in quicker? Are they having a go at their midfielders for not winning the ball? Are they having a go at Shane Ryan for not delivering the ball?
There'd be a bit of everything.
There would
be a bit of everything. Basically, what was happening was, if I was Jason Foley, I'd be asking, why are my half-backs not tracking the likes of Kieran Kilkenny?
Why am I being left one-on-one?
Where's my help? Where's my midfielders? If you're not working outside in the midfield, you should be sitting back in front of me. You know, things like that. Like, if I was David Clifford, I'd be saying, why are you kicking the ball into me? There's three fellas marking me, and I've no forward with me.
And yet at half-time, only one sub.
And the other question is, if there were three fellas and David Clifford, where are the other two forwards?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing that we have to look at. Dublin kicked 318, and Dublin looked like a team. I think Conor Callaghan kicked 8 points against Roscommon the week before.
Yeah.
They seemed to be going for the juggler the whole
it's
time.
It's all Joe Brawley's fault.
Yeah, they seemed to
be. 2 weeks ago, Joe Brawley questioned how good he was at all. I mean, literally said.
And if you look back last year, he was a big addition to him last year. The year we beat 2022, he was thrown at us today from a couple of fellas. He was missing for the semi final and stuff like that. He is a good player. No doubt about that, but they're utilising him. You know, there was a couple of times they kicked in one or two high balls into him as well, but the difference was there was one or two Dublin fillers underneath him at all times.
There was three forwards
underneath him at all times,
under the ball. John Kennedy, damaging defeats, every team loses, some teams have awful days out and it's a blip and the whole lot. Is this a damaging defeat?
I think it's the mental thing for later on, Donald. Do you know, next weekend we have Tyrone, a different game again, another tough encounter. But I think that it's later on in the year when we'll meet Dublin again.
Mm-hmm.
This thing will come back. You know, the guys we were marking last Sunday, we'll be marking them again. There's a doubt in your mind. You know, maybe people have said today, did Kerry have a hard week training or whatever? That's gone now. It's the defeat in Croke Park. And, you know, Desi Farrell, it appears that this was a game. You could see the determination on the team, on himself. It was never, they never let up. When Kerry brought it to 3 points, like Liam said, they kicked on again. And, like, you know, there's guys, he's building up a panel at the moment, because you look at it, Cluxton, Fitzsimons, McCarthy, McCaffrey, Mannion, Costello.
Mm-hmm.
They're all names. They'll come back into the frame. Can you imagine Paul Mannion coming into that attack? I mean, it's fearsome at the moment.
He needs it.
Is he needed
if you're scoring 318?
Can we let him at home?
You know, he's another class footballer. Mm. But, like, it's the appetite they showed. And going back to the young fellas again, you know, Theo Clancy, he didn't put a foot wrong.
Very impressive, yeah.
He and Murphy in the wing. That Cuffig Burn in the middle of the field, like. Latif, when he came on.
He had a great 40 minutes, actually, in the middle of the field, too. Right, OK, so, God, I might even swear we're broadcasting for a Dublin crowd. After a break, we'll go through the comments, and we have an awful lot of comments, and we will tear through them, lads. I won't lie, they're not great, okay? Some are worse than others, and some are even worse than them. But we will go through them. And if you have a comment out there, give us your view, of course, 083-300-3300. Keep it as short as you can, because poor Ivan is writing down that at the moment he can't keep up at all. And Ivan, of course, is only back from Liverpool, of course. Commiserations is there too, Liam. Another loss at the weekend.
Bait by a bunch of babies,
huh? They were high on Kelpol, I heard. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Okay, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Donal Barry here until 8 o'clock this evening. Okay, lads, roll up the sleeves. Here we go, the comments from the listeners. And when I say we have loads of comments, listeners, I have to say, listen, thanks very much. I mean, we literally have about 150 of them, and we probably will have another 150 shortly as Ivan drops them onto this. So we will get through as many as we can. We're not going to call them all out, so if you don't hear it, well, don't be disappointed. It's just literally, we'd be here till 12 o'clock tonight. There'd be no talk sauce or nothing. Anyway, afternoon, lads. Oppositions have figured us out by putting a man directly on Tig or engaging the sweeper. It pulls us wide and as a result opens the play. This needs addressing pre-championship. The two things that are alarming. Saturday was more or less 12 of our championship 15. Secondly, we didn't have a plan B either on the field or on the sideline to counteract this. Players of this level should be capable of reading the play and adjusting accordingly. Or has this freedom been eradicated? John Kennedy, is this the players on the field or is this the plan at the sideline? Wow.
Well, I suppose, look, the first thing, the Tadhg Mála issue, I mentioned it a while ago. It's a very good point. And it has been a problem when our centre back is being pulled out. Your full back line is exposed.
But is it not like, I mean, when Tadhg Mála became the sweeper, it was the new show in town. I mean, it's kind of an old new show now, isn't it? And other managers will have to develop a way of figuring it out.
The year we won the All Ireland when Tadhg Mála was the sweeper and it worked well for us, it was David Moran that sat in that pocket.
Yeah, correct.
He sat in the pocket. The other defenders are being engaged with their own men, but it was our midfielder David who sat in that pocket to allow
very big defensive unit
exactly
of a player.
And we don't seem to have that at the moment there.
No. Yep. And like, we have enough experience out there to cover off Liam, in fairness now. And the other side is, when things go wrong on a night, like the first half to last night, we were caught all over the field. You could say that no Kerry player played his potential, mm-hmm. and Dublin were on fire. Very difficult to do anything when things are going badly. If you had one or two or three players, well, you could do something. But like you mentioned a while ago, Donald, one saw at half time, you could take off the 15.
Mm-hmm.
You could have, in fairness.
Yeah.
Because there were so many, we were in trouble in so many areas. To be fair to the management, you know, whoever was going to be pulled was, no one would argue, because we were second best for that 35 minutes.
That's nearly everything. Hi, Donald. I'll tell you what went wrong. The Dubs were just too good for you. Up the Dubs. Fair play. We'll give you that one for free. Hi, lads. With Kerry not attacking the Dublin kick-out and our players not able to defend, we'll be lucky to get the Croker later in the year. Dan and Ratmore writing us off already. We'll probably get the Crokers at some stage. But have we slipped out of our own kind of power rankings in our head? I mean, remember last week we were talking about winning in All Ireland and we were thinking, we were saying we were one of the top two teams, one of the top three teams. Liam Brosnan, where would we be this week, maybe?
Well,
Based on that result, I do think
that it is a bit worrying, you know, to watch how the Dublin dismantled us the weekend and dismantled us easily. I know fellas mightn't have been playing up the farm and stuff like that, but it gives a bit of fodder for every other team that we're going to come up against, you know, that we are beatable. And there is a common thing out there at the moment that if you mark Paddy and you hold David to 5 or 6 points, that Kerry will struggle. And these games will just add more fuel to that, because that's what Dublin did the weekend. They held Paddy. We struggled inside with getting decent ball into David. And now, when you look at the likes of Armagh the weekend and the likes of Donegal, who are probably going to come out this year, and I do think, look, I don't think they're going to be All Ireland contenders or winners, but I do think they will upset one or two teams. All right, now you have Derry who are going
up the Donegal dressing room now for the rest of the year.
I don't think Donegal dressing room won't make a difference. I just think that I would be a small bit worried with what I saw the weekend, because there is little holes there and breaches and stuff like that and problems that we have, and like, we're not a million miles away from championship, like.
And like, Liam, Tyrone Shore against Mayo, they dismantled them, really, didn't they?
Yeah.
And like, McCurry coming back, Canavan flying, Peter Hart, you know, the two midfielders, Kilpatrick and Brian Kennedy, they're going to be a real tough nut again. There's 5 or 6 teams there, and at the moment, we'd find it difficult to beat those.
And in 2000, John Kennedy, don't be depressing us
and
anymore.
And in 22, we had a defensive structure. No. We have no structure.
Yeah,
at the moment, even looking at the games we won in Kevin and stuff, it's all one and one stuff. Yeah. And you're not going to win in All Ireland going out with Dublin.
Would you be hoping that we're hiding something?
You'll be hoping.
Would you be hoping
that's
that
the back
we have
of all
something
our
hidden for the championship?
Yeah.
But honest, Donald, I'll be honest with you, I don't see what we have to hide. Being honest,
yeah.
And that's not being critical.
A new structure, and a new defensive plan.
You look at our bench.
The players are there, like. Yeah.
You look at our bench the last day. Our 15, fair enough. But look at the bench, like. Have we some impact off the bench? You compare that to the Dublin, you know, Brian Howell coming on.
You mentioned there,
the lads
want
to come in there, like, you know, like, it's worrying that we haven't got the guys coming in that
Jack would,
and to be fair to Jack and the management, they have brought new fellas in. You know, they did it last year. Unfortunately, as yet, they're not up to the mark to make that impact.
Okay, hi, Donald. Dublin were great to watch. They wanted to track back. They tackled. They got forward to support. I thought Kerry dropped off too deep on Saturday night, and our lads seemed a yard or two off their man all the time. Kerry have 3 scoring threats: David Clifford, Sean Ishay, Paddy Clifford. The rest of them were Dublin, and Dublin were all about them. And that's from PJ. I suppose PJ may be questioning we were a yard off the pace. We weren't on top of our game. You remember, I suppose, you remember the time when we beat them in Croke Park and we kind of choke tackled them in a sense, yeah. and we swarmed them and we gathered around them. There was no incident of that last night, Liam.
No, nothing like that. Like, the only bit of, I suppose, glimmer of hope that we're looking at is that the Mayo, this time last year, it was Mayo who gave us a bit of a trouncing above, and we still went on. But like, looking down the road, look, Dublin are going to be the team. I always said that if you're going to win Dáil Éireann, you're going to have to beat Dublin. And they proved it again the weekend. And it's just frightening with the players that they have. And just, it was just frightening to see the likes of Kilkenny and Burglar and even Paddy Small, the way they were brushing off the tattles of our defence and running through us. You know, that's a worrying factor. That's something that, you know, you'll be wondering how you can.
And I suppose Liam's Kerry men, they play the game like we'd like it to be played.
3-18.
To be fair now, we're talking about attacking. You know, regardless who wins or loses, that's what you want to see. Fellas taking on 1-1 and going for it. Now, one thing I suppose is just David Clifford. The time he beat his man and went in and kicked it into the side netting near the end, he went through and he kicked it over the bar when the goal chance was on. Had they gone in, Shawnee was off with a couple of frees, you know, but I think that was only paper over the cracks.
We were
second best, and that's worrying.
Lads, will you calm down? Don't. It's only February. Fair play to you. Thank you, listener. We needed that one. Kerry tactics were all wrong. We stood off in defence. Kickouts were a disaster. Dublin got their kickouts spot on, and it's nearly become a psychological issue now for Kerry that we cannot beat the Dubs in Croke Park. There is too much pressure on the Cliffords to have that massive game all the time, and it showed again the last night that they are now becoming too easy to read, particularly from a Dublin aspect. Have the Dublin players the engine sign on the Cliffords and the Kerry team at this moment, maybe?
The last two times we played them, you'd say, yeah. You know, they probably have. On the kickouts, on the Dublin kickouts there, your listeners, yeah. But I don't think we will actually mark the kickouts like we did, because it was we were marking men to men, and what was happening is Dublin were coming into the middle and running. I think we'll come championship, we'll have a zone, more of a zone.
Do we not have enough players on the field in that starting six or seven to comfortably show or comfortably win 50-50 kickoffs,
yeah, or even 50-40 balls at the moment, yeah, because at the weekend that's the way it was. No, so it was, yeah. You would be running, especially in the kickouts. But I can see us and doing the kickout strategy that we had Saturday night when it comes to championship. Anyway,
we didn't win one challenge the last night. Now, one player put a fair belt on a Dub. Well, there was a few belts put on Dubs. They might have been on the fair side, but yeah, I get where that is coming from. Take it as a lesson learned, boys. Go back and watch it and see where they can improve on. I presume that's what Jack is busy at the moment. Dáil, the Kerry shooting was unaccustomedly poor. Really big word, unaccustomedly poor. Shooting was poor. David Clifford was having to do it all himself. Maybe he has to trust more of his players. Another question there.
Could be a mind
when you see that one there. Next time, men against boys, lads. Simple as that. What a hammering. What happens? We will rise again. Fair play to you. I wouldn't be too worried. It's only February. Kerry will be back in the mix when it comes All-Ireland time. Donal, what are you talking about? We were lucky the defeat wasn't bigger. All teams know what Kerry bring now, and all teams will be able to exploit us. Is there a danger, Liam, that this game will give a blueprint to other teams who mightn't be as good as Dublin at exploiting us, but certainly will have a way of opening us up a bit more?
We said it there a couple of minutes ago, definitely, because it'll give fodder to other teams to know. And it's not a big secret that we are over reliant on David Clifford and Paddy and Sean Shea, you know. So, but like, we're getting back to the Joe O'Connor point there in the middle of the field, you know, at half time. Surely someone said to Joe, there's no one marking you, go forward.
Yeah.
Now, we could see it from up high that they weren't really interested in Mark and Joe when Kerry had the ball. They were sitting back, and Joe kind of got inspirational, and he kind of went forward twice and he kicked 1-1. We need little things like that from other players to know, to take the pressure off the David Cliffords and the Shawnee Shays and Paddy and these guys, because if you run into place, you are going to get space, because there's so much eyes and heat on the three boys. But we need to be doing it more often.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, ahead of that game, there was a minute's silence for Tom the Smith O'Sullivan from St. Michael's Filemore, of course. A man who never won an All-Ireland, to be fair to him, at Croke Park, never representing Kerry either, I presume. But a man who kind of meant so much to his club and his community. And of course, on Saturday, there was nearly over 200 former players and current players, of course, lined out for a Guard of Honour for Tom in I suppose the hometown of Carrigaline, even though Strand's Inn men on the way into it, and of course his son Ian, a former Kerry minor, and his daughter Eve as well, a talented footballer with Southern Gaels. I remembered him this evening, and strange enough, not that we meant to link this, but his nephews, of course, are the O'Connors from Glenbeggan and Cairn. They were over in New York, and they're back, Kenneth and Adrian. And they really grew into big, big men. Is that what we're missing in Kerry at the moment? A traditional, old-fashioned midfielder that is 6'4", 6'5", Anthony Toole-esque. You mentioned David Moore. David Moore, possibly the last of our big midfielders for a while. Or is that becoming a hard spot to fill for the two lads that are there and maybe Jack Barry beforehand, because what we demand and what we expect from that position is so out of what can be delivered in the modern game?
It is, yeah, definitely. If we could get a piece of the likes of Brian Fenton and these fellas. No, and not every county is blessed with the likes of those players, Conor Glass, you know, and these guys. But look, you'll be hoping over time that the likes of Joe O'Connor will get enough of experience and, you know, enough of know-how. And, you know, defeats like this, you learn, as they always say, you learn a lot more by defeats than you probably would by wins. And I think we'll learn a lot by this. And I think the likes of Diarmuid, and Killian Burke is a guy, you know, who I was impressed again in the first half. No, he got on. He kicked his pint. He was trying hard. So there's a bit of excitement you could build there around Killian as well. You know. So yeah, it's midfield is still a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mick from Ballybun was on the line there with Ivan. They were on the phone for the last 10 minutes. I'd say together. Ivan typing mad. Nearly 70 years old, Dole, and worn out from games like this over the last dozen or so years. Teams only have to put the head down and run through us. Nothing has changed. The worst is this is nearly our full championship team. The truth is, if we had five or six players simply good enough, we'd seem to persevere with them. These are not just recent lads either. The search has to go on out there. Where are all the hard men gone? All the stoppers, they must be there. John Kennedy, where are all those hard North Kerry men gone?
Yeah, and you know, it's a question that's been asked, Donal, and William must have talked about it this evening. Like, you know, can you name a player or players that should be in?
Mm-hmm.
We can't. To be fair, I think, Jack,
like, to be fair, the boat is full with what is what should be in the boat.
No, I mean, and there's no criticism of the management saying that another should be inside.
Yes,
that's not an issue.
Whoever's not there is injured. Like,
is injured.
Dan, I don't know who.
Yeah, to be fair, I think
Mike Green, these guys,
you know, they're through all the county championship. They brought in the guys. It's not turning the switch. You know, it takes time. But it's we certainly need, as I said previously, when you look at our bench, the inexperience that we have there is worrying later on the championship, because, you know, we will get injuries.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be at the business end of the season, there's no doubt about that, but you know, that's when your squad is tested.
Donal, kickouts need to be sped up. 50-50 balls being kicked out to midfield all night long. Half hour line in midfield were well below par on the evening, with leaving the backs wide open. Really missing the tough half forward line of, what kind of players does he mention?
Declan O'Sullivan.
Paul Galvin. Did you write this one yourself? Yeah, they're the two names that popped up. And one learning is that Sean O'Shea is probably required in the half forward line.
Yeah. You see, look, it's fine when you're playing McGrath Cup and you're getting supply in, with all due respect. But we're going up the ladder now, and, you know, can we afford to play him inside? You know, it's the players you've mentioned were some of the best players that ever wore a Kerry jersey.
But yeah. Dublin have them at the moment.
And Dublin have them.
Dublin have them at the moment. That type of a player, they have them at the moment.
And it must be remembered, when we did have Declan and Mr. Galvin, we lost a few other lads.
We didn't get past the
line. Donal, I feel sorry for the Kerry team. It was a hard game, from Joan Cremins in Tralee. Fair play to Joan. Dublin were on fire because they were gut marked. God, when I played football, you would be within touching distance. Hi lads, better to get beat in the league and sort the kinks out. Tyrone will tell a lot. Kerry will stay up in the league. Here we go again with hiding. Do the Dubs hide? All the best, Brendan. Can I just say something there as well, and Brendan kind of tipped it there, I suppose. You know, the next game will tell a lot. Liam, the next game now is really, really important.
It is, yeah. We've Tyrone at home now next Sunday. So, and Tyrone after a great win the weekend against Mayo, so they're going to be coming down buzzing as well. So you'd be hoping to get a bit of a response after Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see any difference in different personnel on the team, really.
Can I say who we haven't spoke about at all yet? We'd normally spend about a good 5 minutes talking about this character, and we haven't mentioned him higher below down. Who haven't we not spoke about? The poor referee. Never mentioned the referee.
The very easy game to weekend.
So let's talk about referees for a minute or two. Hi, Donal. Great to see two Kerry referees on National League duty this weekend. Brendan Griffin refed the Division 1 encounter between Roscommon and Monaghan. Absolutely. And Seamus Mulville was the man in the middle for Wexford and Waterford in Division 4. Both men doing North Kerry proud. And that comes from John Paul. Let's dial it down a bit. Two guys. Seamus would ring you now.
Give me a plug.
Thanks, Seamus.
Don't ring till he's off air, Seamus. Brendan Griffin and Seamus Mulvihan. Let's get away from the kind of the drudgery at the moment.
Two great referees.
Two great men at national level. Yeah, riffing leagues.
But they have their reputation in Kerry. In North Kerry, and Kerry is there for everybody to see. Two very fit, up with the play. Use a bit of common sense, even though it's not in the rule book, we're told. But, having said that, teams that they have riffed in Kerry, County Championship, tremendous respect for them. It's great to see them. And, when you don't hear a criticism of a riff on a Monday morning, They must have done well, to be fair, and well done to them and the best of luck, because it's great to see two North Kerry men.
And not an easy job.
Not an easy job, no.
No, and I have to say one thing about Brendan Griffin. I remember maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Brendan Griffin turned up and he reffed the community games, bronze medal game between Kilcommon and Listowel, and he reffed it as if it was the All-Ireland final. He had common sense, he had the whole lot, the game in the draw on the night, it was a fantastic thing. But to think a guy of that stature was able to...
But these are two great G-men, Donald. They're involved with development squads and stuff there, and that says a lot about them. They have a fierce respect, and they're down-to-earth guys as well, but they're refereeing at the highest level, and fair play to them.
Absolutely, and of course Seamus, a great ladies referee as well, done many a game final as well. There's loads of comments coming in, lads. Send more of them in, we'll get as many as we can. 083 300 3300. But for now, we'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Right, I suppose we'll put a smile on some people's faces, to be fair. We're too depressed at the moment. Now, that defeat, everybody's running around the place saying it is the worst defeat by a Kerry team. It is the worst defeat in the league by a Kerry team. It is the worst ever defeat by a Kerry team. So we had to go off and do a bit of homework. And it does rank fairly high. It is up there, to be fair. But it's the 13th worst league defeat, which basically means there's 12 defeats that are actually a lot worse. We will relive some of them in the company of our guests. John Kennedy, let's go back to the 14th of December, 1986. And we're going back to Kells, not in Carstairvine or Foylmore. You were up the road in a league game. You played Mead, and Mead won by 112 to 4 points. 11 points, 1 point worse. Donal Neal from Carstairvine was in goal. Pat Grady, Tom Spillane, Mick Spillane, Stephen Stack, John Higgins, Garrod Casey, Lisbol. Midfield, Dermot Hannafin and Timmy Dowd. William Maher, Ogie Morn, John Kennedy.
About that. He scored.
He failed to score. Michael McCullough from Spa got a point. Dermot Hannafin got a point as well. Jack O'Shea was full forward. And Jer Power got 2 points out of 4. Can you remember that? Did it leave a big...
Oh, I can't really, Donald, being honest with you.
But, you're going to say that, aren't you?
But, these defeats, you move on. The Kerry lads, like that time as well, you have a defeat, the next one is the most important again.
The bus, and you can like, down the road.
Get on with it.
That's a 1984 defeat. He had been the 14th of December, or 1986, actually. Things were coming to an end in 1986, weren't they?
Yeah. That was the end of the 3 in a row, like, was...
Yeah, so that was a worrying enough defeat, I suppose, really. Yeah. A lot of new players in that as well, so obviously I'd imagine Donal Neal, Garrod Casey, I suppose Timmy was on the panel for a while, Michael McAuliffe was coming in and coming out of it, Pat O'Grady, of course, Glenn Beglin Kerr, a lot of new players being come in. So that defeat is fairly bad. It's 11-point defeat, okay? We had a couple of worse than that, had we? Mm-hmm. But we get a couple of worse ones, were we? Let's go to Parnell Park in 1998.
Oh, Jesus.
That was a terrible defeat.
Dublin, 18 points. These were the days when Dublin would play their league games in Parnell Park. Liam,
full house.
Yeah, so you were deprived of that, Liam. Liam, of course, was playing. That's where we're going on this one. In goal,
find it.
In goal, I find lots of things. In goal, Declan O'Keefe didn't affect him. He went on to win bigger and better things. Killian Burns, a sneam. Barry O'Shea, fullback. Stephen Stack, poor Stephen Stack's going to get an awful doing tonight. Sean Burke was at 5. Liam Flaherty was at 6. Now, and Eamon Breen was at 7. Now, they're fairly tough characters, and to think that they were on the defeat of that magnitude. Midfield, Dara O'Shea and William Kirby. Two young lads at the time. All I'm doing is equating to our two young lads that are there at the moment. We're looking at them as they are now. Maybe we should be looking at them maybe in the future. Palaid, Donald Daly, Johnny Crowley, who got a goal. Derek Kineda, John Brennan from Desmond's, that'll make Mr. Nelligan very happy there. And Liam Brosnan got 1 point. Fair play to
what
you,
was
Liam.
The score?
The final score was Dublin 18, Kerry 1-3. Come on, Liam, you surely must remember that night, do you? That's 1998. What about John Kidd, 86?
I can remember it, all right, yeah.
Can you remember it?
I can remember it, yeah.
What do you remember about it?
Basically, it was a full house. Look, we were the All-Ireland champions coming to town. We have to win the All-Ireland 97. So a lot of these guys, I suppose the celebrations were still kind of going strong in Kerry for a lot of that league.
Yeah.
No, so it really didn't get going until...
Yeah, it was Kerry's fifth worst defeat ever. Yeah. Fifth, you're okay, John. You're down around ninth.
Like you went through your team there. Like there's serious names in that
serious
team.
Serious names, yeah.
But that Dublin team had serious names as well. You don't have the Dublin team there now.
No, sure. Jeez, that'd be an awful job to do that. Come here. Let's go for the third highest defeat ever. It happened in Croke Park. It happened in the league. It happened in 1991, and it was a fair dusting, 3-11 to 7 points in favour of Dublin. We'll have a look at the team, will we? Be very interesting when you meet some of your friends here. Peter O'Leary was in goal. Colin Murphy, Dr. Croaks, Ambrose O'Donovan at fullback.
Ambrose, yeah. That's one now we'll have for him.
That's one you'll have from the next night. Kieran Culhane, Belly Longford. Yeah. Robbie Dwyer, of course, Waterville, Sean Burke, Stephen Stack again. God, he's not good. He'll come after me tonight. Yeah, don't be counting him. Noel O'Mahony and Tim Dineo, of course, in Waterville. Jack O'Shea was in it again, actually. Eamon Breen was playing centre forward. Maurice Fitzgerald was on that team. That's fair going to think where we're going. Sean McKelly, of course, out the road in Knocknagoshal. Yeah. David Farrell, Ownascall, and sure, another corner forward from Curragh.
Paddy Dinehy.
Poor Pat was there as well. And Pat Slattery and Anthony Gleeson were the subs. I suppose the point that I'm trying to make in kind of a fun gesture, I suppose maybe to lighten it, is that this has happened before.
And it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And it's happened to huge players with huge names.
I even running out of paper.
Well, Ivan, will you stop? We better fly through a few more. Congrats to both Brendan and Seamus on refereeing their Alliance League games this weekend from all the North Kerry board. Fair play. Donal, will you wish the very best of luck to the athletes going to Cork tomorrow for the Munster Schools Cross Country, amongst others? There are four minor girls flying the flag for the very first time for the Kingdom. There are two girls from Killargle, one from Tralee, and one from Pumbleskull, Inverskena, down there in Kinmare, and we're very proud of them all. Yeah, absolutely fantastic, and the very best of luck to you. Evening, fair and constructive analysis, lads. Tough evening in headquarters. To focus the minds when we are out on the GA pitches of Portugal in a few weeks. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. We're going to Portugal with a defeat in our back pocket. I presume there'll be some frank talking.
Oh, there will, yeah. Yeah, and it'll be about whatever bit of a week that they'll have together, you know, between the bonding and the training and the tactics, because it looked like the weekend, and a lot of people have said it, that we didn't have any tactics. It was like that the management just said, just go out and play. And I think the Portugal trip and the training from here on will have structures which we need. We need a defensive structure. We need to be able to transition the ball out of defence a lot quicker, up into a forward line, not up into a forward, up into a forward line where with David, with other fellas around him. And I think if we can get that right, we won't be too far away.
Mm-hmm. A few calls from the referee cost us dearly. Penalty decision and a foul, one of our players going through on goal, haul down around the neck and no free. Dubs go down to the other end and get a goal, 4 point swing right there, and add in the dubious penalty. Don't say no more. We said we'd be nice to referees. Hi Donal, I particularly love this one. I'm a lady in my late 60s and I could do a better job than the management. Why are we pushing our forwards into the corners, leaving centre field totally open? No support play, no players running at the opposition, and we're not learning. A loyal Kerry supporter losing hope somewhat. Well, I suppose all the good Lyle Kerry supporters never lose hope. That's what we would be hoping for. Lads get a grip. Joe Connor playing his second full game in nearly 2 years. Very fair point. Why was Paul Murphy left out, and why was that young lad from Nigel, who was Damien Burke caller, thrown in? It was a very big night for him and his family as well.
Yeah.
And a night that he'll always remember as well. Why was he thrown to the Lions then? After they beat us last July, we should have been out to get him on Saturday night, but we had no will to win anymore, no hunger, no urgency and no fire. And then we have another Peter from Kinmare looking to know where Donald Down has gone. Where is he? No talk about Conlane. I don't think he's Conlane, but anyway, the referee, the third goal was a result of the ref not giving a free to Kerry in the second half. It was a disgrace, I'm aware. Kerry were not at the races, but that free would have brought us within 2 points of Dublin. With all the talk of what if and what this and what that, does that kind of mask the real problem, John, doesn't it? I mean, the real problem, we were outplayed for all of that game, bar maybe the first 10 minutes and probably a good 15 minutes in between, where, as Liam said, they whizzed down. The one thing that worried me about Kerry and Dublin was that when the third quarter blitz was over, Dublin kind of rolled up the sleeves and outscored us 1-4 to a point at their ease again.
They did, that's the thing, and we mentioned that earlier on. Do you know, when they brought us to 3 points, or we brought them to 3 points, and they kicked on again. I think their bench, as I said previously, they made an impact. Brian Howard, you know, made a big impact. Letif coming in did well also. But look, it's you can look, and your listeners there, rightly so, maybe a few decisions that didn't go our way, but I think it's only masking the problem. You know, we were well beaten on the night, and I'd say the management and the players will know that, and you know, it's back to the drawing board, and it's improved to get to that level. You know, it's a big game next Sunday against Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if we beat Tyrone next Sunday, the Dublin game will be forgotten about. Yeah. That's the league, and you know, it's so competitive that if you win the rest of the games,
you could
still be in the final.
You could,
that's
yeah.
the thing about it.
Geoff from Mead was on. Thanks, Geoff, for getting in contact. Hi lads, I was at the game on Saturday evening. Kerry looked stuck to the ground, way off the pace, maybe a lot of heavy training done. We were certainly lost for pace, weren't we? We were a gear behind. Hi lads, the halfback line needs to push up more to support the attacking play. I think we should play an extra halfback and keep two scoring forwards high up the pitch, David and another. I wouldn't be too worried, and it'd be interesting to watch what Derry and Dublin do next weekend. That all of a sudden has a smell of an All-Ireland final about, doesn't it?
It does. It'll be interesting what kind of, and it's up in Derry, isn't it? I think it's Dublin or away, so it'll make it more interesting. But yeah, you would wonder. No, I just
who would you like
Dublin,
to win?
Dublin seemed to me that they wanted to lay down a marker with Kerry. I don't think they were bothered with everybody else through the league. I think they were laying down a marker with us the weekend.
Yeah.
Whereas you could see Derry winning the game the weekend. But
well, both teams this time last year came from Division 2.
Yeah.
They had that big battle above in, I'm nearly sure it was above in
Derry
last time as
so
well.
It's
yeah.
Dublin, yeah. So
maybe they're going again.
Yeah.
Who do you want to win? Come on.
I'd like to see Derry win it.
Mickey Hart.
Just to keep them going.
Or Mickey Hart, Fenrir Lairn, Joe.
No, just to keep them happy now, and yeah, you know, hopefully bust their bubble. Yeah.
John Kennedy, Dublin will want to keep it going. They'll want to win that game.
Oh, they will, yeah. They want to win, but I think I'd agree with Liam. I think Derry will win that, being honest with you. It's different. When you take, if tis in a Derry venue, it's a different situation.
Different, yeah.
Dublin and Croke Park, you know.
They're a different animal.
A different
Croke
animal
Park,
at this time of the year. The space and the wide
hill,
open space that are there.
16,
the hill,
all
that, you know. It's difficult, and you have to be ready. You have to be up to match pace for Dublin and Croke Park.
Yeah. A caller listening to find out what was the worst ever league defeat, and we have that there as well. 1958 was the league. We lost to Kildare on a whopping 3-10 to one goal. I don't have time to go through the whole team, but suffice to say, I will go through the whole team. Nicholas Hussey from Stacks was in goal. Jerome O'Shea, of course, was Carsevide. Ned Roach was Knocknagoshal. Team Tiger Lions. Mick O'Dwyer was on the team. Tom Moriarty, Mahal Kearns from O'Rahilly's. Mick O'Connell was midfield. Dinny O'Shea, O'Rahilly's. Paddy Sheehy was on the team. John Dowling was on the team. Tiggy Lyon was on the team. Johnny Culty was on the team. Mick Murphy from Rally's on the team. And Dan McAuliffe was on the team. And to think that was the worst defeat ever in the league.
It kind of just shows you when things go against you, no matter who you are, it's very hard. And I think, look, the three goals as well were massive, you know. And they seem to come at vital times as well, just to keep pushing them on. And it just shows that there's a lot of good footballers that have been beaten by high scores.
Well beaten. Absolutely, yeah. Out of sight. So I suppose that's the one thing we'll take on it. It's not really life and death, I suppose. Kerry will have to pull up the socks. I'm nearly sure the players themselves will know. And it's hard for the players as well, because, I mean, they've got families. They had families in the stand the last day listening to people hurling abuse down on top of them and all over the place. They certainly didn't go up to get beaten by a somewhat cricket score against a very good Dublin side. They will channel that. They will improve on that. Obviously, for the management as well. I mean, they're working hard night and day as well. People might have their differing views about who should be on and the tactics we are, but I mean, you can never doubt the work or the sincerity of the work that goes into it. And for all the players out there, that big defeat. Look, I mean, to be very fair, you know, I can't say good, well done, or big, well done. But I mean, you have to remind yourself of the effort for them to get there. I mean, nobody went out the last night to lose. And one of the callers there said, listen, Joe O'Connor, his second game. Things like that matter, John Kennedy, you know, when you put it back into context. And that's what we'll do. Lads, thanks very much. We'll have you on next week. Hopefully, we'll bring a bit more smiling next week. I have no more things to throw at Liam Brosnan now. You can answer the phone there now in 10 seconds, Liam.
The way the phone calls are coming in, I'm not answering them tonight.
Good stuff. Listen, guys, thanks very much. Up after a break, we will talk about hurling. Get after the news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Just before we get on to Rich Dard, and we'll talk a bit of hurling, congratulations, of course, to Mercy Mount Hawke. We had them in there a couple of weeks ago after they win their Corner of Ree, and they were doing buying spirits, of course. And they only went off and, of course, won their All-Ireland semi-final on Saturday, defeating Naas, and they're now facing defending All-Ireland champions OMA in the next couple of weeks. And we certainly wish them the very best of luck, and we'll hope to have them in as well. Shane Conway's return inspired Kerry to a much-needed victory over Meath in the National Hurling League. And the Lixnap player, of course, scored 1-9 of his side's 3-14. As Stephen Malumpy's Chargers earned their first win of the league campaign. I'm delighted to have Richard Foran on. After all that negativity about football, Richard, isn't it great to be talking about positive hurling?
It is indeed. It is very good. But before we start the scene, I just want to offer my condolences to our my panelist, my fellow panelist, James McCarthy, on the passing of his uncle, Kevin Quirk. And also, I want to say something as well about, I suppose, social media after the loss, Kerry's loss to Dublin on Saturday night. Some of the stuff on social media was totally uncalled for. And while constructive criticism is fine, I think people need to think before they type, because some of the stuff on social media was totally unacceptable. And, you know, David Clifford and the boys, they train hard, and, you know, I think they don't deserve this sort of abuse. So I just want to ask people to think before they type.
Mm-hmm. Well said, absolutely. And it's quite unpalatable stuff, a lot of the stuff that comes on, I suppose, and they're in the thing. Come here, let's talk positivity. I mean, if there was pressure on one man, it was certainly Stephen Malumpy heading into round three. Big defeat, almost had a win above and down, and the wheels came off in the second half. The pressure was on to get a result here, and I suppose the result was probably, above all, the single most important thing the last day.
A win is a win, and it was great to get it and get to have 2 points on the board. I suppose it wasn't the conditions weren't great for hurling, the pitch was heavy, do you know what I mean? But Kerry were by far the better side yesterday, but that said, I suppose they made it hard for themselves. They missed 14 scoring chances in the first half, and you know they were up by points at half time, but they should have been up by maybe 7 or 8 points, and they had goal chances in the first half. So while they were well on top, they made hard work of it. But as Dahi Griffin said at half time, they were told then, look, just to shoot from a bit closer range, you know, and don't be taking pot shots, I suppose. They did that thing, got 3 goals, and probably unlucky, Tom Dyle was unlucky not to get another goal. So yes, totally on top, and certainly the score would have reflected that. But it was nervy at times, because it was a bit disappointing, I suppose, because they were clearly the better team, but it wasn't showing on the board. But it wasn't pretty, but it's job done, and now we roll on to Kildare on the 9th.
Yeah. Does the nervousness of a display like that come on the fact that you haven't won, and there's probably extra pressure on you because people are saying to you, whispering in the ear, it's Meath, we should beat Meath, we're better than Meath, we're at home, this is a result we need to get. Is there an explanation that you're that nervous from the first half an hour, and particularly the 14 miles?
Yeah, I think, you see, people were probably saying, we should beat Meath handily enough, but people don't realise that this is a new Kerry team. We're down 9 or 10 players from last year. they're a young team. So, you know, you're not talking about the big guys, you know, the Boyles and all those. They're gone now, you know, and Owen Ross and other players like that, Jordan Conway, Colin Welch is out. So you're talking about a very probably inexperienced Kerry team. So that levels it up a lot more. So, you know, we've had big scores against Meath in recent years, but you weren't going to get that yesterday because, as we know, Kerry are a team in transition. But that said, I thought Shane Conway yesterday, you know, well, Shane is Shane. What can you say about him? And outstanding display, do you know what I mean? And Goggin inside, I suppose my own club man, Michael Lean, had a great game. Dahi Griffin, you know, Tom, I was very impressed with Tom Doyle from Crokes, and it's great. We all know that Tom has great potential, and yesterday he really showed it. Like, so, yeah, you know, badly needed and deserved as well, I think, you know, and great to come out of Austin Sack Park with a win.
Man, you mentioned Shane Conway, of course. I mean, he featured heavily, I suppose, in the Munster League games ahead of it, and then all of a sudden we didn't have him for the first two league games through injury. Huge pivotal role. Obviously, he's a huge leader, but we need a Shane Conway-esque performance in the games going forward as well, a 1-6 or a 1-9 or a 1-10 or maybe even another goal snuck in as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about David Clifford with the footballers. I suppose Shane is one of our main men as well. Do you know what I mean? He's an outstanding hurler, and he's a great man to create. You know, he's great outside too, to be able to direct traffic, and he's great at directing ball into the corners, because I think that with the two boys inside, Michael Lean and Dan Goggin, they're very, very good, and they are dangerous, as we saw yesterday. They did do damage, but Shane is excellent, like, you know. And another man I'm disappointed that he's out as well, because I thought he'd be played very well in the Munster League, Luke Crowley, you know. I mean, because he ran at both Waterford and Tipperary, and he's a great athlete, so he's a big loss as well. But to go back to Shane, you know, we need Shane, because we're down enough as it is, you know, with 9 or 10 players from last year missing those guys, and real leaders. So we need Shane, yes.
Yeah, and talking about big leaders, of course, Finan McAsey, always a big leader.
Finan puts in, you know, he was everywhere yesterday, you know, and, you know, he's a big, strong man, like, you know, and he's a great man to go forward. I suppose people would like to see him being able to go forward maybe a little bit more, but, you know, he has his role at the moment, and he's an outstanding hurler.
Mm-hmm. He had big news, of course, during the week, didn't he?
Yeah.
Confirmation of big news. Maybe the worst kept secret in our Kerry, but it's been confirmed now, of course, and he is on the road shortly.
He is, and I think some of the Meath management yesterday were having a go at him because of that, and they were hopping balls, as they say. Do you know what I mean? But he gave him their answer. So he's heading to O'Loughlin Gales, and the best of luck to him. But he'll be a big loss, you know, a big loss to St. Brendan's, you know, because they've lost other players, you know, I mean, likes of Young Hosey there and things like that, and, you know, so but that's it with St. Brendan's. They have a lot of good guys coming up too.
Yeah.
So they have underage talent.
And just to kind of confirm as best as you can confirm, because we were texting about it already, it doesn't necessarily mean he's leaving Kerry in the Kerry team. He's just playing hurling in another club in another county, for the time being, anyway.
That's it. Yeah, he's going to O'Loughlin Gales. Yeah, but there's no talk about he leaving Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he won't be leaving before the league. It's an unusual enough league, Richard. One win, now with momentum. We have Kildare to come. It's probably a big enough ask as well. But another win or two, and you could end up in third, and you could end up back in the mix.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a strange one, really, because, you know, Meath beat Kildare and Down beat us, and then Kildare and Down played a draw yesterday. Kildare actually, Keith said, you know, Keith saved a penalty against Kerry, and he saved two penalties yesterday against Kildare.
Yeah.
So Kildare won't be easy above in Hawkfield, but a win there, you just never know. And then you're going up to Laois. Now, Laois would be red hot favourites, but Carlow beat Laois at the weekend. So, look, but you know, I think whatever we'll get into semi-finals or whatever, I think that this is a team in transition, and I don't think a lot of people are expecting a lot from Kerry this year, because they're so young, you wouldn't be putting too much pressure on them, because, you know, they're down, as I said, 9 or 10 bodies from last year, and real leaders. So look at, I think that they're a team in transition, and a good performance in the league, and then obviously going to the Joe McDonagh is important, because, you know what I mean, it will probably take time for them to be to get success, so we have to give them that time.
Yeah, absolutely. With that in the background, then obviously relegation or starving off relegation is key.
Well, there's no relegation in the league this year, we're safe enough that there's going to be a new system where there's going to be a reshuffling, really, and a new system in place for next year. So, however that works, but there's no relegation. There's just a sort of a reseeding, a reclassification process. So we'll see how that goes. But of course, I suppose if you finish in the bottom half of Division 2A, you could end up, in a lower division. But and if you finish in the top half, I don't know how it's going to work. But the higher, obviously, you finish up in Division 2A, the better for the new reclassification.
Yeah, you'll still be looking for a team, or at least two teams behind you as well by the time you're finished. Come here, another historic day for Ballyhaig. Maybe not the result that we were all hoping for, but Kerry Camogie in Division 1.
Absolutely, I suppose. If you say to anybody that there's a county with only one senior club and they're actually playing in Division 1, they'd be looking at you. But it's amazing. We're just chatting the last day with the Limerick boys, and they're a professional outfit, they're a top class side. And so Kerry were really up against it, especially missing the likes of Neve and Patrice, Danielle, and those, really top Camogie players. So it was a very young Kerry team that went out against a very experienced Limerick side. So yes, it was a tough outing,
to be fair.
A baptism of fire, I suppose, playing in Division 1. But like, as I said, when you have a county with only one senior club and they're playing Division 1 Camogie, like, that's amazing, so they're punching way above their weight. And I said, these are very, very young players, and they've come up through the structure with the likes of James McCarthy and those, and certainly, they will learn a lot from Division 1, but it ain't going to be easy. But Division 1 is never easy anyway, especially when you have a small pick like Kerry. But look, they have done absolutely magnificently to get to where they are, and they will only learn from this process.
Yeah, absolutely. Kerry out again next week?
They're out on the ninth, isn't it?
Against Kildare.
The Kerry Hurlers now?
Oh, no, the Kerry Hurlers. We'll go back to the hurling for a second.
Oh yeah, the Hurlers. Yes, the Hurlers are out against Kildare on the 9th, and then they're trying to Laois on the 16th.
Yeah,
both games are 2 o'clock.
Yeah, how difficult are those games going to be to get a result out of?
Well, obviously, you'd be confident going up to Kildare. I mean, Meath beat Kildare, so and down drew Kildare, so we'd be we'd all be pretty much at the same level. Kerry down, Kildare, and Meath probably, even though yesterday I would say that we were probably better than Meath, and I would be confident going up to Kildare that we will get a result there. I think that it is possible. Laois then will be probably, they'd be favourites then as we go up there, but you just never know. It'll be our last game, and Carlow beat them at the weekend, and so Carlow are really, really good, as we saw in Centrally. So but to beat Kildare, I think, would be the most important thing, and then hope for the best against Laois.
Absolutely. Well, look, we'll keep fingers crossed for that, and we'll hopefully have James with us again next week. Richard, listen, thanks very much for joining us this evening. And thanks for all the chat on the hurling. And you probably brought us the most positive news on the show this evening, in Richard. So there you go. You can put that on as a hat. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, just to prove that we have the best listeners in Ireland, Tim Slattery, of course, who is a bit of a legend himself, gets in contact on Facebook, of course, and he has the team, the Dublin team of 1998. Remember, Liam Brosnan couldn't remember who or what he was playing against in one of the biggest defeats. David Bourne was in goal, Paddy Moran, Dermot Martin, Paddy Christie, of course, cornerback, Eamon Heary, fantastic footballer, wing back, scored 2 points. Dermot Harrington, Keith Galvin, of course, Paul Beelan was midfield, Kieran Whelan, yes, absolutely, 2 points for him. Ian Robertson a point. Dizzy Farrell, wow, he didn't remember Dizzy Farrell was playing. Or Brian Steins was playing, 2 points. He came back from Aussie Rules, of course. Jim Gavin was playing, Declan Darcy was playing, and Jason Sherlock was playing. Well, Tim Slattery, when we have Liam Brosnan in the next night, we'll certainly have to ask him how he did not remember Jim Gavin was playing against him way back in 1998. And of course, that was in reference to some of our worst defeats in the league, of which we had quite a few. Now, hoping that there'll be no defeat, our next team are only 2 wins away from hitting the Super League, and I'm delighted to be joined by Lynn Jones and Enda Walsh, of course, of St. Paul's women's team. It's no exaggeration, Enda, to say that it's probably going to be one of the biggest women's basketball games ever to be played in Killarney.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they've had a very good league campaign, only beat Munster in the regular season, so this is the semi-final now, and you're 2 games away from the Super League, which will rank you then as one of the top 10-12 clubs in Ireland, so it's pretty big. Don't get any bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. Lynn Jones, getting to the Super League was always the dream, but having to get through the National One, Division One was first. But of course, you aren't there yet. There is a many a slip between there and getting there. How important is this next game for you, and how are you building up for it?
Yeah, so we have Temple Oak on Saturday, and you know, obviously the final is the goal, but we cannot look beyond Saturday, because if you slip up there, then your chance of Super League is definitely gone, you know. So you've got to get to the final and play for promotion. So that's definitely going off the beat, just to keep the eyes in the focus mind on Saturday at 4 o'clock in the press.
Mm-hmm. We had you on at the start, of course, Lynn. I mean, ahead of the campaign, and we had James Boohoo as well with you on, and from the word go, this was to get up and get out and win and thing. Have you seen that through the course of the campaign, that something may be a little bit more different this year than last year, maybe?
Yeah, I suppose the focus was always on you know, promotion, because just the dynamic of the team and the age of some of the girls now, and you know, the young people coming through, there is, I suppose, a feeling of maybe now or never, you know. We embraced last year, this is where I feel, and we have to get over the line, and you know, give the young players a chance, just to taste the Super League and to get a feel for it. And I think the talent is there, the ability is there, the background is there, the work is done, and just to get over the line now and on Saturday, and gives us a great chance in the final. We'll take our chances there, but promotion has been at the tip of everyone's tongue really since the season kicked off, just because of how close we came last year, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you're one of the more unique teams, obviously. I mean, you have National League men and women both competing at an exceptionally high level, knocking on the door of various Super Leagues and on the men's side as well. Basketball in Killarney, I suppose in many ways we have that kind of proud history that we all go back to at the time, the Glen Eagle Lakers and the whole lot, and maybe kind of disappeared for a while. It tends to be on the way up, isn't it? There's certainly more headlines in more recent years.
Yeah, and come here, you mightn't be able to go back as far as I am. I'm not sure whether you're younger or older than me, but I can remember Glen Eagle in the 80s with Paddy.
You're definitely older, 100%.
So I think, and even going back further, you had the Town Leagues, and you had the Busby Babes. So there's always been a huge trade of basketball in Killarney. And you're right, it's probably unique to have two teams, both a men's and a women's team. But in fairness, the St. Paul's are very organised. You have Jim Delaney looking after the ladies' side of things, and you have Padraig Weldon and Paul Sheehan looking after the men's side of things, and you have 2 good coaches in place, and 2 very committed set of players. So when I put all those ingredients together, you know, it does work. But it is a lot about hard work as well too, and I know, like, the girls there are giving up Saturday nights, and the boys, they're going up the country playing and stuff, and they're putting in a huge effort. So hopefully both teams will get their reward come season's end.
The game the next day, I mean, obviously in the press, it's a 4 o'clock tip off. I mean, you have a hard enough core support, but I mean, how important is it to get more support in, more people who might just make this game that haven't made any game yet?
Oh yeah, look, Mayor Fels, there is great support for the ladies team, and as you say, we'd like just to get that little bit extra. And you know, there's a couple of girls playing from surrounding areas, who've Denise Dunleaf, Scarty Glynn, Lorraine Scanlon, you know, Mary Kate Smith from Cremorne, and we'd just like to see would you know, just get a few extra people in, you know, maybe get the people to carry behind it, because this is the only Kerry ladies basketball team playing in the National League at the moment. So you know, if we could just get that bit extra, pack out the press. There's been many a great night in the press, going down through the years, and hopefully next Saturday at 4 o'clock will add to that list of great occasions.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, I presume you have a full deck of players to pick from and to choose from the next night, and everybody's fit and healthy and rearing to go.
Yeah, full complement, ready to go on Saturday, no excuses.
Right, okay. Lynn Jones, person of few words, huh?
No, I was an injured out myself, but I'm back and all, hobbling along, keeping up with the young ones. But no, we're good to go. We just had training this evening, and we'll go again tomorrow, and we'll go again Thursday, and everyone's ready to go. We got some great news actually this evening at training. Leah McMahon got a phone call at 6 o'clock to say she'd made the Irish Under 18 team. So that gave us a lovely boost, and she was on a high, and you know, it was good for all of us. So
yeah,
just goes to show, you know, that it's worth that extra push on Saturday, and the few people, as I said, to come out. It'll be an entertaining day, whether you don't know basketball or not. You know, it's important that we get the kids out, especially girls, to come out and see. You know, women in sport, it's vital to come in sport on Saturday, because when the game is tight, and we expect it to be tight, you know, Timberoga, a serious outfit down the stretch, that's when you need those people, and that's when, you know, the extra drive, the extra push, the extra shove, and just get over the line.
Mm-hmm. Did I see you scored Lynn, did I see you scored 5 points in last night yourself?
You might have a big five for me. That's a big four.
You're coming into form big time ahead of the big game.
Yes, exactly. I could put a one in front of the five now for Saturday. I'd be delighted. We'll see.
Fair play to you. Listen, Lynn Jones, and the watch, the very best of luck. Hopefully, you have a massive turnout there on Saturday night in the Prez Gym, St. Bridget's Prez Gym in Killarney. It really is the home of basketball for many years, at 4 p.m. And listen, the very best of luck. Fingers and toes and everything crossed. And hopefully, Lynn Jones, you'll put a one in front of that five the next day. And everything will work out for you, and we'll be talking to you next year in the Super League. Of course, 2 wins away from the Super League, this is the first of a very important one. After the break, we'll be talking to Kevin Cronin, and we'll be talking boxing.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk here on Monday evening. Donal Barry with you until 8 o'clock this evening. A few texts there, of course, coming in, 083 300 3300, and send them in by all means. We'll read them out. And the very best look to St. Paul's there as well. We're talking to Lynn Jones, of course, and Enda Walsh just before the break. But we're putting basketball away, and football and hurling and everything else away, and we are going back into the ring with Kevin Cronin, the Kingdom Warrior, who we haven't met for a long time. An awful lot has happened with Kevin's run in the meantime, and of course Kevin is the Kingdom Warrior, and I suppose the big news is that he's to fight possibly for the first time under the Conlon boxing banner, and he is heading, of course, most people would head to Galway or Limerick, but you've done that already, Kevin. You're going to Boston this time on Saturday the 16th of March, which is super, super exciting. Let's start there. I mean, how exciting is it? Like, you're going around the last number of years, plodding along, doing your best, you know, fighting, maybe hitting yourself against the wall loads of times, the doors closing, the whole lot, and then all of a sudden, this door opens.
Yeah, just had to keep chipping away. so, yeah, this is definitely exciting, as you said, plodding away. That's what it was like. I wasn't tied down to any promotions. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have that big backing that a lot of the big fighters would have. So I didn't have that pull to stay active, so I could have an active spell, and then it was kind of stop-start, and I'd have a pause in my career for maybe a year with a fight falling through or just not being able to get on a card. To be honest, we done quite well with just me and my coaches, my manager. We got 2 title shots, so just out on our own. But now, yeah, look, I've done enough to impress the right people. I'm with a good big promotions in Conlon boxing, you know, and I'm managed by Mick Conlon now, so they're going to get me the opportunities. I've just got to deliver, and mm-hmm. Starts in Boston, can't wait for it.
And this is where the dream is becoming a reality in that sense. I mean, like you said, you've done an awful lot of good work over the last number of years. You got title fights. I mean, basically, it is amazing. I suppose you feel at times you're probably going nowhere, but all of a sudden you're on the card of an Irish title fight and a Celtic fight as well. But this seems different gravy. This kind of tastes a little bit different, does it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I was, you could say with that, going back even to the Irish title fight, it was on the verge of being European ranked, like, just to get the nod in that fight, and I was top 15 in Europe,
yeah,
knocking on the door of a huge title with just me and my coach. Like, so as I said, that was a massive thing to do, but let's say I got the nod and got that opportunity, that's when you'll only get your shot at the big European titles
when you have the right people behind you to push it.
And you need like that you need to be in that circle, really. You need to kind of get into that room to be a name, to be a voice, to be somebody to say, yeah, you know, he's worth a title shot.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that. Now I have him. They're gonna push me. They're gonna be able to say it. Like if I say, whoever the European champion is, Kevin Sadjo. If I say I want to fight Kevin Sadjo, like the lads will get me a fight or two.
Mm-hmm.
Then like they definitely have that backing to say, Sadjo, we want you. Like, you know, that's the way it is now. Whereas if I just kept going the way I was going, or if I didn't get the opportunity, it would have been me saying it, and you know, a blind eye thrown to me. You know,
yeah, you might have fallen into the right time at the right person and fought the right person, but the reality is you need a big backing to open that door, and that door has opened for you. I mean, you're going to Boston. Talk about the Boston fight.
Yeah. So Boston's an unbelievable opportunity. Like, obviously, it's class to be my first fight with Conlon over in Boston, because they had a card coming up in Belfast and we thought that's what it was going to be. But took me making other plans. It was very nearly Madison Square Garden, to be honest with you.
Whoa.
We were talking with the promoter that was running Madison Square Gardens. We weren't ever told that it wasn't going to be. It was just kind of being dragged on a bit, and I had people that wanted to go to America for the fight, and we had this Boston offer as well, and it was just getting close, too close for comfort, and like that, flights and stuff aren't cheap for a lot of people to be travelling over, so we just jumped on the Boston one.
And of course, it's the IBEW Hall in Boston, which is kind of a boxing haunt as well, you know. Not Madison Square Garden, but it is the Madison Square Garden of Boston, and an awful lot of Irish people in Boston, of course.
Yeah, and I can see that even, like there's a small bar over in Boston getting behind me, and they're pushing the fight and stuff, and like I'd be chatting with them just online, and they're telling me about tickets and stuff that are flying out the door for people that just want to see me over, just I suppose Irish and even Kerry people know someone's coming over, and something for them to see, something to, I suppose, give them a feel of back home again, which is really cool too. And yeah, look, the hall, look, it's not Madison Square Garden, but it's me getting that experience stateside. It's me putting my name out there stateside, you know, because we're definitely going to be back there by the end of the year. Where in America, I don't know, but we're going to be back there. So like it's only the beginning of me building myself over there. But looking forward to getting over to Boston.
Yeah. Come here, the whole Conlon thing, how did it come about? I mean, was it like a phone call one evening? Was it someone says, hi, I have a guy here who we think would fit your kind? How did that come about? Was obviously it had to be some communication somewhere along the way, or did you just turn up on his doorstep and say, hi, give me a chance?
Yeah, no, look, they don't sign a lot of people. Like, if you're being signed by them, you either have some serious amateur pedigree with some Olympic background or Commonwealth Games background, something like that. It was just me grinding behind the scenes, putting in the work, getting better and better every day. And fight with Jamie for the Celtic title ended up impressing them enough that they wanted that rematch for the Irish title on their card. And look, obviously they were looking with the two best lads in the weight here in the country, they're going to be fighting for the number one spot, and the fight delivered, you know. And obviously they had their feelings about who they thought won, ended up in draw, but who they thought won the fight. They let me know their feelings afterwards. They came back to our hotel, I'd just been chatting with them. They were very easy to deal with. I moved down a weight since I got a fight, and I was sanctioned to fight straight away for the champion at the super middleweight, and they were getting that on their card again straight away. They wanted me fighting on it. I had a feeling, just the way negotiations were going and stuff, they were very much talking like I was the A side, even though I held no belt at that weight. So me and my coach had a feeling at that time that they were obviously
see potential in you. I mean, look, I suppose some fella along the way says, Jesus, this Kingdom Warrior fella has done an awful lot on his own to go so far, to end up in a ring with Jamie Morrissey for an Irish fight and the whole lot. Is there more pressure on you now, though?
Look, you could say that. I have a target on my back now. I've got the opportunity that every fella in Ireland is looking for. That's not either a serious name tied down to a big promotion like Matchroom. They're all looking to be tied down from someone like Conan Boxing, and I've got it. And no, it's put a target on my back. Hasn't put pressure on me. No, this is, look, I've worked hard to get this opportunity. Came a lot earlier than expected. Now we just need to build on it. And yeah, look, people are going to be chasing me down and wanting this fight. I've seen already, you know, a lot of people dropping my name. If that was before, I'd be jumping on it, you know, let's get this fight, it might get me the opportunity. But now we just got to sit back and see which fight makes most sense, see what titles we can get on the line, things like that. Yeah, look, pressure wise, no, I think I'll thrive when it comes to that stage. I think we've seen that already in Galway when I was put on that stage, they got the best out of me.
Go back to the Galway fight. I mean, it came off the back of, I suppose, a very disappointing fight for you above in Belfast. I mean, everybody thought you had walked over the ring winning it, and obviously the wrong hand went up on the night. You end up back in the ring with the same character again. Again, everybody thought you'd done more than enough to win it, and this time both hands go up. You know, you didn't lose, but you didn't get the title either. Talk us about maybe the disappointment of that in the next couple of days, and where'd you go after that? Do you have a serious chat in yourself saying, none of these doors are going to open from here there?
Yeah, kind of. There was, you know what, when I lost in Belfast, it wasn't that bad. I was sickened, but I was hungry. I said, we got to get the rematch. I said, I hope he does do the rematch like he said he would. And then the commission wanted the rematch for the main title. So, like, you win the Celtic, you progress, you get the Irish for the European ranking then. Mm-hmm. And luckily enough, the commission said, look, it has to be us again, which I suppose kind of says enough who they thought won that fight too, you know. Yeah. But yeah, the rematch, look, it was a class fight. Even watching it, I knew when I was in the ring that it was a good fight. Obviously, because I was choking over blood in the corner and the crowd were going nuts, you know. So
real rocky stuff, you know.
Yeah, it was a crazy fight. It was a mad fight, but when I watched it back,
it was a fight, though, wasn't it? I mean, most people go into the ring and they kind of box each other, but at some stage that became a fight, didn't it?
Yeah. Look, it became. It's that saying, you know, when you say you're going to go to the trenches. Yeah. You know, me and Jamie were in the trenches that night, and none of us wanted to give up that bit of ground. I think the minute I went to the championship rounds, I just started getting the better, and I suppose it just showed the work we've been doing behind the scenes. Mm. We've been going to the trenches in camp, and look, it just.
And funny enough, you mentioned that about the championship rounds, because in an awful lot of your fights, in particular the Belfast fight as well, just watching it, you did get stronger. From round 4, 5, 6, you did have the fitness, you did have the strength. Is that something that might have caught the eye and said, yeah, you know, this guy, you need to go 8 and 10 rounds in big fights? Is this something that might have worked in your favour maybe when spotting you?
Yeah, because look, when I was talking with Jamie and Mick Conlon during the whole negotiations, that's something they did pass off me. Like, they said, right, look, they said, we've been out of the ring now since June. They said, we're getting you run out. He said, like, 10 rounders from here out, you know. Mm-hmm. 10 working to 12, like, you know, so there's no more messing about. It's not even camp anymore, it's just all year round. Like, it's just a lifestyle now where I just have to be ready for 10 round. I have to be ready for a hard 10 rounds all year round, because you can get it any time.
Talk to the guy listening to the radio now, the amount of training that you need to fight a comfortable 6 round fight, and the amount of training you need to survive a 10 round fight and maybe go much in it. I presume it's night and day, is it?
Yeah, look, it's obviously tough training, but you kind of got to mix a bit of everything, because, like, your tank has been hitting every sort of way when you're in the ring. You could be on the back foot, and, like, that could be absolutely tearing the legs off you, you know, burn the legs out of you. You could be in the front foot, but it could be a tough fight, and your chest could be catching up. You could have a fella that's tapping away at your body, and your whole body is sore and burning like this. You have to be kind of prepared for every sort of outcome, but yeah, look, 6 rounds is tough. But I prefer the longer rounds. Mm-hmm. As seen, I am better in the later rounds. Like, I'm definitely built for the championship rounds. You'd think it's a good thing, it is a good thing, but it's something it gave us something to work on, like, that I do need to start a bit faster. I did show it when I moved down the weight, I've been working at that, because I started at a million miles an hour and held it going, like, you know.
Yeah.
And got the stoppage, so we just had to progress in that, and now I just got to start fast and finish fast, and that's really what we're working on. Things are going very good in camp. Like, we couldn't be happier with how things are going, so it's like that. It's just all down to Boston. Hopefully hopefully it'll go the distance and people get to see, geez, he held, you know, he held that game plan and that pace throughout the fight, and he's boxed very smart, and it'll be able to open some eyes, you know, rather than taking
someone
out in the first round.
And of course, that's what it's about. I mean, you're showing yourself to maybe a lot more eyes than what are in Ireland at the moment, and people are saying, yeah, you know, he might fix the mix for what we're looking for. He might fit inside there. Let's go back and talk about maybe the career to date. And I mean, it's 6 wins, one of those not wins and a draw in the middle. Does that define people as a boxer? When you're looking at boxers, do they say, oh yeah, you know, I'd be scared of him, or he hasn't been really challenged, or do they look at who you fought and all that? How does that work out?
Yeah, look, everyone's different. You could have a fella that could be over in America now, and they could say, oh, whatever, you know, Kevin Cronin's come to enjoy the day, they're looking for you as an opponent. Mm-hmm. He's 6-1-1, and they could say, oh yeah, this, yeah, I'm going to have a go at this one, Joe. I think I can beat this fella.
Yeah.
But they don't look at the record and look at
who the six are.
What that one was like, you know. And was it a one or wasn't there one besides the pint, you know?
Yeah. But it could be 7, it could be 8, but it just fell into
like
that.
Yeah, like I'm what, 8 fights in now, and I probably have more experience than most guys 8 fights in, because I've, in my 6th fight, I had to go to the trenches. My 5th fight, I had to go to the trenches in the title fight, which is unheard of, but I jumped in at 5 fights in, you know, and in my 6th fight, done the same, but just went more rounds, 10 rounds in my 6th fight for a European ranking title and the Irish title. And then to go the fight, I fought a guy in Cork now, and he wasn't, when I moved down the way, and no, he was no killer by no means. The fight itself was very one-sided. Like, I was just battering him from the get-go, and like a few people that I'd know personally were like, why'd you fight him, he wasn't that good. And then you have people in the boxing circle who were like, oh, Joe, you just made him look very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
When they know who he's fought before that and how he looked,
and that's what
guys,
it is,
you know?
It's the perception, because that's a very good point, obviously. I mean, we look in and we say, your man was useless, they must have found out in the backyard, but the reality is no boxer is useless. I mean, they all have their own story and their journey and their fights and the whole lot, and they've all the miles put up as well. And the fact that you make him look bad is probably the reality. It isn't the sense that, you know, he came in from the backyard, but you made him look bad. But when you come off the ring, then knowing that you've made this guy look bad, you knowing how good he was in the first place, that must excite you.
Kind of. To be honest with you, I didn't care about that fight.
Right, okay.
Because I was coming off that draw, and I'd fallen so much out of love with Joe, just with competing and boxing, and like even the training side of travelling up and down.
Was it hard
Dublin.
To get back into the ring after the...
It wasn't, because I had just not a care in the world. They said, oh... The coach said, I think he knew what I didn't. He knew I wasn't firing all cylinders, and I suppose you could say it in my head, I was firing him in the ring, obviously. But he said, look, we'll get you out nice and quick, get back to winning ways, John, get going again. And then he said, oh, but we're moving you down a weight now, because you wanted to go down with a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just, yeah.
Does that pose a big challenge, going back down a weight? Obviously, you have to shed a small bit.
That one was fine, because I was coming straight off of the. After light heavyweight fight, so my weight was fairly light and all that. When I was meant to fight for the title at that weight, that actually the whole show fell through that week. But when I was meant to fight for the title at that weight, and I got to do a whole camp from being my normal walk around weight down to super middleweight, it was tough. Tough. I enjoyed every, I hated every bit of it, but I enjoyed every bit of it. I know it's hard to make sense of, but at the end of camp, when we were close to weight, I was down to the last few kilos, and I was going into fight week just getting ready for that last cut. I was saying, oh, that was class, John, even though I was tortured, John, it was the first proper camp where I was like, that's John, that's what it's all about. So like, it only makes me more excited to be in them camps like that. It's actually a catch weight over in America. We're not going all the way down to super middleweight due to flights and everything like that. And the reason we don't actually have to make it, because there's no title and line or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But look, touch wood, get the job done over in America. Straight back, Josh. I'm still I'm still there, I'm still eligible, I'm still sanctioned, you know, see who's there next.
Mm-hmm.
Get that strap.
Stay with us, we'll take a quick break, but after the break we'll talk about the championship rounds.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Kevin Cronin is in studio with us. Of course, he is the Kingdom Warrior and he's preparing for his first fight stateside, of course, in St. Patrick's weekend over in Boston. We chatted all about that. Come here, Kevin. Let's go back to about Mick Conlon one more time. Obviously, we talked about it off air, of course. 2012, huge Olympic year for him. Were you sitting at home as a young for the shouting Mick Conlon on, or would you have even known at that stage that your paths were going to cross somewhere?
Yeah, well, no, obviously I didn't know our paths would ever cross because I wasn't, I'd say that time I was fighting at super heavyweight in the amateurs and I was no killer at it, like, you know. But I was a big fan of his, and obviously, look, everyone, I think, that's enjoy sports remembers that Olympics. Like you say, Katie Taylor was looking for, was that 2012? Was London?
Yeah, London. Took the gold medal. Yeah,
Katie, and obviously, when you're kind of involved in boxing, then you would have been watching the likes of Joe Ward and Mick Conlon, who was the amateur world champion at the time.
Yeah, and it is amazing, I suppose. Katie,
sorry, that was I think it's 2016. I'm thinking.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, but Conlon won in he won a bronze in 2012.
For
some reason we don't remember because Katie won the gold, and and we tend to forget. Come here, let's not forget the family and the connections and the whole lot. The logistics of getting Cronin and company over to Boston. I mean, that must be fairly difficult, is it?
I think they were all looking for a good excuse for holidays, you know. So
you beat Cheltenham.
I don't know. There's a few going to Cheltenham that would have liked to come, but I'd say Cheltenham was a bit more interesting.
Can't fly both directions at one time.
No.
But flying to Boston, I mean, obviously it's logistical. I dare say that you're going to spend a few pounds as well getting over there as well. But then the excitement at the other end. Would you have family over in America? Would you have people cropping out the
No, I wouldn't have much family over in America. Look, I'm sure if I go back through the family tree, I probably have a good few of them there.
There'll be loads of Cronins.
None that I've met, like, you know. But look, there's still all my family are heading over. Some of my friends are heading over. Might be some of my friends coming from Australia as well. You know, so it's like, as I said, it's a great excuse for people to go on holidays and like see Boston on Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
And why not do it? You know, I'm fighting over there.
Absolutely. At what stage then do you kind of log off from the family? You go over. It's still it's not a holiday. Such it's not like the Kerry guys going to Portugal in a warm wedding. Going to warm weddings as well. Warm weather training. But how important is it for you to switch off, get ready, get focused? Because at the end of the day, you want to come back with 7-1-1.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll probably be switching off from the get go, from the time I get my flight. Look, I'm flying out before everyone else, obviously. I'm going out at the start of the week, myself, Mick and my coaches. So it's not like I'm going to be enjoying a holiday over there with my family land. Mm-hmm. I'll be chipping in my weight over. I'll be trying to keep my head in the right place, make sure I'm not jet lagged, you know, by doing a few light sessions.
Do you have to go over a couple of days ahead of time to kind of get ready?
Yeah, look, as I said, it's not like there's a big title fight. We're going over on Monday, I think.
Okay.
The fight's on the Saturday. Now, if there was a title on the line, I'd be going 2 or 3 weeks out. But for this time, we're going on, I think it's the Monday. We actually haven't even our flights booked yet, but we're watching them. So I'm going to go over. I'm going to be chipping away at my weight and just train and doing what I need to do to shake off.
There's a gym set
dust.
Up and you...
Yeah, look, we're hoping we can meet Mickey Ward over, to be honest. We know he's a gym and obviously huge friends of him, John, like watching his fights growing up. And
he's another legend of the game.
It would be unbelievable to meet him. Maybe try get him to go to the fight. It'd be class. But he has a gym over, so we're gonna try get... Maybe Mick has the bigger following. He might be able to touch base with him. So
you might be able to ask him nicely. Come here. You've come a huge journey. How many years now? You've travelled a lot of years through it.
Through boxing or is the pros?
Yeah, boxing in the pros. Are you in?
I'm in the pros since 2019, I think.
Yeah. And of course, COVID took an awful chunk of your.
That was the biggest kick in my career. But look, I can't say kick because everything worked out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you see a lot of other people retired during COVID and just couldn't get going after COVID. I, like, when COVID got serious and the full lockdown happened, I just went buying DIY stuff and built a gym and, like, built my own boxing gym, which I still have, and just trained like an animal throughout COVID, and actually even got a fight during COVID, which was the strangest experience I've ever had in my life. But got a fight in Luxembourg. Yeah, but yeah, so COVID worked out for me, but it did, yeah, look, it obviously affected my fights, because I could be 16 fights in by now. Like, there could have been 6 or 7 fights per year in them 2 years, but there wasn't. But look, like, that COVID happened, it went, I got back active, and it's about doing that now, get back active. And as I said, when I was talking negotiations with the Conlans, like, it was put out there, they said, you're going to be active. Like, there's obviously bits, like, Kerry was thrown in there, there's a few finer details that are going to be very exciting, but activity was probably the big one. They said, like, I'm going to be active, just going to be fight after fight after fight. So there's going to be a lot in Ireland. Kerry's definitely happening this year, 100%. Might even happen on a bit of a smaller scale sooner than people expect. But we'll definitely be looking to come back in the second half of the year and do that INEC fight as well. But yeah, look, there's
you're really excited, Kevin Cronin, this time, aren't you? I mean, last time you were going to Belfast, you were kind of hopeful, kind of Kevin Cronin, and we'll give it our best, and, you know, there's a title, and if it isn't, doesn't work out, there's another path. But this time you're kind of excited. There's kind of, you know, you're kind of a, like, young lad at Christmas again, aren't you?
Yeah, look, it's like I got an injection into my career, like, you know, and it's exactly what I needed. No, it is just about me performing and doing my thing. And I, even my fights before all this, I feel like when I was in there, I was like, all right, let's go in here and let's just get the job done and hope we can pick something up again afterwards. You know, hope we can get a shot at a title, hope we can do this, hope we can do that. But now all I got to do is worry about my training, worry about my weight, and do all the hard work behind the scenes, because my team is going to do the rest. And they're going to deliver. So now it's just about delivering. That's it.
Fair play to you. Very best of luck. It's great to have you on the show. We won't leave it another year, okay?
Yeah.
You'll surely be back before to us again. Listen, Kevin, look, it's been a wonderful journey. I mean, like, 2019, it's amazing where the time goes. Hopefully this is going to be the exciting chapter in the book. The first bit was just the little chapter about getting going, the whole lot.
Warm up, yeah,
this will be the good chapter, I think. And it starts, of course, and Paddy's weekend over in Boston. We'll have all eyes and ears on the fight. Fingers and toes crossed for you as well, and you'll come back in time. And we might get that Irish fight at home, we might get in Killarney, you never know. Yeah. We'll bring you to Carstavine, a lot of good fighting people back there as well. We'll pack the place out for you. Up next, it's Talks Us with Mary Conroy. Big thanks to Keane and Ivan, who was printing comments all night long and answering phone calls. And thanks to Liam and Richard, Lynn Jones, Enda Walsh, and to John Kennedy as well. And thanks for a good show this evening, and we'll do it all again next week. Thanks for listening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.